Nobody can hear it. We're good.
Okay.
Hey, hi, howdy ho. Project Game Day postgame show. I can't even turn it down from here anyway, Ken. You do what you want. Who cares? The Ravens lost. Who gives a rat's ass? The Ravens lost a football game. We're not used to this. 34-20, they fall to the... Well, I guess we assume that's going to be the final score. They fall to the Chiefs in week three. I don't have as much piss and vinegar as I did at halftime, but that's largely because I got a lot of it out at halftime. Ken, you weren't here.
I wasn't.
To be able to get your piss and vinegar out at halftime. So which one do you want to do first, your piss or your vinegar?
I don't know. I've had to go to the bathroom for a while, so.
Great timing, right when we started the show.
You know, they didn't do anything well tonight. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, we can, you know, this is the third week in a row you and I have done this, and rightfully so, this was the only game that mattered.
I've been talking about that literally one game, and unless something goes wrong.
Unless something goes drastically wrong, right. Like they lose to Washington, is that who they play next?
Yes, they play Washington next. Unless somehow they have a really poor stretch, and then suddenly games at the end of the season matter way more than they should be.
Yeah, and luckily they have three games at the end of the season. Yes, their last five are basically. Okay, but it's tough. I was upset, as you can probably ask my family at halftime, because this is what they do in big games over the last 3 years. I don't understand how you run the ball down a team's throat in the first drive, get to second down and three inside the 10, and then abandon from that point on the entire first half your run game. The entire first half. Not just two plays. The entire first half. Running backs had five, I believe, maybe six carries the entire first half. Oh, by the way, they were averaging over 6 yards a carry. Tennessee game. Playoffs. Same thing. This is what the team does best. Lamar comes out in the first drive, runs for 40-yard run, looking good. Didn't do it again. We love to throw the pass. Now, your pass catchers stink. Mark Andrews, let's put away, oh, I want to be as good as Kelsey. You're not, because you can't catch.
Well, tonight he couldn't catch. Mark Andrews is an outstanding football player.
Okay.
We're not going
to
do that.
Show it to me in a game that matters.
All right. I mean.
Show me in a game that matters.
We're not going to do that.
Okay, he dropped three passes. He dropped two passes tonight. Brown dropped a pass that killed a drive. The tripping, which was a terrible call, destroyed a drive early in the game, I agree. But the team didn't play well, and you can't piss away an entire half of football against good football teams. They came out. They got the turnover they needed. Again, they kicked a field goal. They got a stop on fourth down. Great. They come down, score a touchdown to the tight end that apparently can catch. But Kansas City's just better, and you can't play a half a game against a good team. They had people – Kansas City, 27-10 at the half?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like 45-3.
So it could have been.
It just felt so much better. And I just don't – I don't get what this coaching staff – why they have a need against good teams to feel like they have to get cute. The way to beat the Kansas City – the Chargers just did it with a rookie quarterback.
Well,
they controlled the game and didn't let Mahomes have five tries.
But there's a couple of things going on there.
They ran the ball.
Well, they did. So I'm with you on the – it is puzzling. It's puzzling in particular because it seemed like coming out of the shoot, that was your game plan and –
As I said,
throughout the course of the week, I really thought there was a chance that what we saw for the first 2 weeks of the season was just them purposely trying to
put
something on film to make Kansas City have to think about it, and then they were going to go back to trying to be the team that we know that they're supposed to be. And then suddenly from there, it just went away. And in a weird way, I'm almost more thrown off by not having Lamar run. in a strange way in the first half. That was almost more confusing to me than even getting away from the run. Because, again, you can go to circumstances and try to figure that out. You can have Lamar run when it's second and 17. Like, you can dial up a play where Lamar runs any, because all you're trying to do is get him into space and then work magic. You don't need circumstances to allow Lamar to run. You should be able to use those essentially as pass plays. That was really puzzling to me. If you want to say, hey, we wanted to have him do a little bit less again in the first two games to throw people off, make people think that's not what we're going to do. There should be no world in which Lamar Jackson running the football isn't a primary part of your offense.
1,000%
insanity.
Agree. And it was in the first six plays, and then it stopped.
It was a very small sample
but,
size.
But to
right.
your point,
right.
they came out with that mindset apparently. Like, maybe they only had six plays scripted, and then they were going off the top of their head. I don't know. But it just... Everything changed on second and three inside the 10. You had run the ball down their throat. Why stop?
So there's a couple of things that are big picture that jump out at me, right? Like, you can't go back and change the decision-making here, but there's some big picture issues. And in the context of this being, like, this is the reality. I said earlier today, the Ravens are going to win their next 10 games 49-7 each, and our reaction to all of it's going to be, okay.
Okay, whatever.
You know, like, okay. And that's a little unfair, and it goes back to what we were talking about the first 2 weeks. Like, here we are sort of meh, our reaction to, like, going on the road, and it's weird, but that's the situation they put themselves in. There's one standard. There's two standards by which we're measuring the Ravens, the first being the Chiefs, the second being just what you do in the playoffs in general because they haven't done anything yet. This is a reminder of the Ravens having a smaller margin for error based on what they do well. That it's one thing we can talk about games they've won going, and they've beaten everybody soundly, right? They hadn't trailed in a second half in an entire season until tonight, right? Like, it's not easy, just they've been winning games. They've been winning games comfortably by significant margins against good football teams. So the first thing I'm going to do, if you're doing the bit where this is always what happens when the Ravens play a big game, you try that again. Reword that. That's not true. The Ravens literally went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks a year ago. No one does that. Stop pretending like this is the story of Lamar Jackson in every big game. It's not.
Every big game at home?
This is the first time they played the Chiefs at home. So you've got three examples of that. You've got three examples of games at home that you're going to complain about. Two playoff games and this. So just word it better. Word it better specifically. Lamar Jackson needs to improve in two scenarios. He needs to be better against the Chiefs and in the playoffs. And those are the two. Those are the two standards by which we're measuring everything.
But I just don't want to say Lamar Jackson. The entire team needs to be
100%
better.
100% accurate. 100%.
The coaching needs to be
yes,
better.
Everything needs to be better.
The defense needs to learn how to tackle.
But it's important to say that has to include Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has to be better.
Lamar
right?
Jackson
like,
has to
100%.
Be better. He has to.
Now,
look, he looked very uncomfortable climbing the pocket today.
Yep. 100. Now, look, The offensive line, which we knew was going to be an issue coming in, like the idea that you were just going to replace maybe the best interior lineman in football, not 10 years ago, a year ago, and just be okay, was always going to be silly. And that's not to say that Tyree Phillips is the story of anything. It's just that was always going to have an impact on the entirety of this football team. But I want to go back. The margin for error thing is a bigger problem. Because it's a reminder that this team, the one thing that you can say specifically is unquestionably correct, is that when this team doesn't have things go their way in the Lamar Jackson era, they don't respond well. When they don't come out and dictate pace, when they don't come out and set the tone for a football game, every time they've lost a football game in the Lamar Jackson era, it's never been a game in which they were up 13-0 and another team came back. Every single game they've lost since Lamar Jackson has been
yes.
the quarterback of this football team
when they get down.
Has had the similar script.
Yes.
They came out and they didn't establish dominance early on, and they got punched in the mouth, and they couldn't respond to it well. And it's a margin for error problem. Now, as we brought up a few times in the offseason, that doesn't mean that you wanted the Ravens to come out and fall behind by two touchdowns in their first game to see if they could do better in those scenarios.
Nope.
But they have to improve their margin for error somehow, because while, yes, this tonight might have been some self-inflicted wounds, you're likely to have that occur again. Like, it's likely to happen to you again, where just because you want to enforce your will doesn't mean that you will. Even if the Ravens go down and score a touchdown on that first drive, Ken, there was nothing that showed to me tonight they were stopping Patrick Mahomes at any point. There was nothing that I saw from this defense that suggested that they were even getting, even in putting up a small impediment to the Kansas City Chiefs offense. They were going to have to win a shootout if they were going to have a chance to win this game. Now, to your point, I still would have preferred that they try to dictate pace and tempo and keep the game on the ground and limit the number of I still would have preferred that.
Right. But that's the thing. And that goes to if you and I, and not to discredit either one of us, especially you.
Well, I'll do it to you. But, I have no problem with that.
But, well, I have a problem. But as little as we know, apparently, because we're not inside the castle and, you know, we don't have game scripts in front of us. As little as we know, we understand that that's how the Ravens – that's how you beat a Kansas City Chiefs team.
It's more specifically this Ravens team. There are other teams that I think that their game plan is very rightfully so. We just need to go score a ton of points.
I understand but that goes to game and feel for me, which is one of my big problems with this coaching staff, is that going into this game, you know you needed to do two things. You needed to, one, score touchdowns to match the points that Patrick Mahomes is going to put up, because as good as your defense can play, he's still going to put up points. And number two, you need to limit the amount of opportunity he has to score those points. They didn't do that. And I know there are always circumstances you can go back. That first drive set a tone. That set a tone for the game. And then here's the thing. It's like, do they panic? Is it panic that they got down 7-3?
No, I don't think it's panic.
The first half they didn't do anything after that drive.
I think it snowballed because on top of, and I'm not trying to take away, because I have the same feeling about the game turned in that moment when they got inside the 10-yard line.
Right.
But it doesn't explain. Like we're letting something off the hook here, which is the defense was garbage.
It was. I'm not letting them off the hook.
It was complete garbage. And I'm not. Again, this is the Chiefs, and the defense is better than what they played tonight. And against every other team, I'm going to feel very good about the Ravens' defense.
Correct.
But there are other problems that aren't just that decision.
I know, and, but it sets a tone for the game. That's the thing. It just sets a tone. Coming out and we're going to punch you in the mouth.
But you got immediate.
Until we're ready to throw the knockout punch there and say, I don't know if it's wide open.
I mean, maybe, but you will go up 3-0 and you immediately allow the other team to just march down emphatically
But that's my point. That's it. You're playing Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. With an offense that is built around him, that is their play calling was light years.
Yes, it was brilliant.
It was really good. But you know that going in. There should be no coach in the world that knows Andy Reid and his tendencies better than John Harbaugh.
Well, certainly in that side of the ball, there's no question about
that. Right. So it's like, it's just, to me, from that point, and I was like, you know, touchdowns beat field goals. You can't kick field goals.
Look, I would have gone for it early on. I would have too.
It has done the go. I agreed with the three. You have to get points there. It wasn't the field goal. It was the second and third down call after you had run the ball every time down the field. To that point.
Yeah. I mean, trust me. I don't care for the calls. I disagree.
Okay.
You needed it. You needed to go. Like you need to figure out what game you're playing. And this goes back to the.
I agree with that.
At that point, this game, and it's same thing in the third quarter when you have the opportunity down 17, and you decide to kick a field goal there. Like I just don't know what game you think you're playing.
Well, you had to kick the field goal there. But, I mean, you kept on running backwards.
No. That was at the end. At the end of the game when they couldn't kick a field goal.
You mean the fourth and 24?
I'm talking in the third quarter when it was a 17-point game. And they were faced with a 4th-and-3 from like the 25, and they decided to kick a field goal there. And it's just, I don't know what game do you think you're playing. And you can make the argument, well, they went down and they got a stop afterwards, and they got the ball back, made it a 7-point game, right? They made it a 7-point game. And then immediately gave up another touchdown because that was always what was going to happen when you're facing the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to give up multiple touchdowns in the second half of a game. Or they only gave up one, in fact. It was actually a remarkable second half.
But you're down so much.
But that's the point. Like, you can't do that. That's not the type of game that you're playing.
Correct.
And
that's why in the beginning, I was like, it sets the tone.
It goes back to a margin of error problem. Their margin for error is very slim. And part of that is how they constructed their football team. They constructed a football team where they decided that they were going to prioritize stopping the run,
mm-hmm.
which, as I said a year ago,
I know you're reacting to that you didn't stop the run in one game.
But it's not even that wasn't even the story of the game.
I understand.
You didn't Derrick Henry didn't do anything until they were already up by 100 points.
I've made this point
over and over again. Never understood why that was the priority when you're not adding in a pass rusher and the story what we saw from the Chargers a week ago turned out to be they could get the pressure from their front four.
Right.
The Ravens couldn't get dick for pressure from their front four. And the argument of you can scheme pressure, which is what I kept hearing the entire offseason. We can scheme the pressure, Wink Martindale, blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. And in every other game, you're probably going to be right about that. Almost every game you play this season, you are going to scheme plenty of pressure. But not against this dude.
Against good teams, no.
This guy. Specifically, this guy who is begging for you to bring someone else and leave him with a one-on-one opportunity to throw the football down the field. He's desperate for you to bring that pressure. Mm-hmm. So your choices are either you blitz and let him pick you apart, or you don't blitz and you get no pressure and he picks you apart.
I had this discussion pregame with somebody. It's like, what defense do they play tonight? And I was like, what percentage of zone do they play? I was like, do they have this bend, don't break type zone, keep everything in front, and then inside the 20, kind of stiffen up and try to do that? And somebody was like, if you play zone that much, he's just going to pick you apart. And I said, if you blitz and bring an extra blitzer, and you don't get there, which the Ravens, you can say that they blitz a lot, but they don't get there enough for me.
I would prefer more sacks. They do get a lot of pressure. They had like 13 pressures on Deshaun Watson last week.
That's
terrible
offense.
I understand that, but that's still the most he's ever faced in his career.
I understand, but it's like, and then you have one-on-one with the great receiving core. It's like, that's the problem with this team, and that's why I went back and I was like, I'd rather them just not have the big splash plays and just keep everything in front of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
100% that. But tonight, this is the first time there's one thing I might admit that I was wrong about, which is I remember when you heard the reports that they were thinking about. I remember we all saw the price for Yannick Ngakoue, and we were like, well, that's probably a price we would have been willing to pay for that dude. And I said at the time, you're still going to be in the same you're still going to be have the same problem, which is you can't pay all these guys.
You can't.
You have too many guys coming up for contracts, and if you acquire Yannick Ngakoue on top of that, if you don't win the Super Bowl,
but the window's small.
Then your likelihood of being able to keep if either going to have to keep him and not sign somebody else, or lose him, and then you just gave up a second-round pick, which is more important moving forward because you're going to be paying more money to other players. Your own draft picks become more important the next 5 years. So I said, I think I'm going to be okay with that decision. Tonight was the first time where I said to myself, you know what? Even if you just admitted that it was a rental and you weren't keeping Yannick Ngakoue past this season, it might damn well have been worth just giving up your second-round pick because you don't have it. You don't have the players that can win up front against this dude. You don't have them. They're not on your roster.
I love these messages.
We're gonna start getting.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
He's Casey. I'm Glenn. We're here for the Project Game Day postgame show. It's brought to you by Wise Markets. All right. AJ wants him to sign Antonio Brown and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Thank you, AJ.
Okay, great.
Brian, Chiefs are 10-12 on third down. Not much more you can say. You're right. I mean, in looking at the stats, that's certainly the number, and you kept seeing it throughout the course of the night.
Well, it was a huge problem in the first half.
But it wasn't as if every third down was different, and that's just sort of like you were facing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense. They're going to do this. They're going to do this unless you have something individually that can stop it. And the Ravens, while they have got a great scheme and, good run stoppers, and everybody loves Marlon Humphrey. He's a great player. Marcus Peters, and even the touchdown, I can't even really.
No, it was a great throw.
What are you going to say about that,
throw. So let me ask you a question. Who was Humphreys on tonight? Who was he covering?
They had him inside a good bit. You saw that.
I saw Jimmy Smith on Kelsey
at one point. Yeah, early on they certainly had Jimmy Smith on Kelsey. They had him inside a few times. He made the one play in the middle of the field.
I know. I don't know. He would have been on. He would have been shadowing for me. But that. My best corner, my Pro Bowl All Pro corner, needs to take their best wide receiver.
He's such a unique player.
I understand. But
I agree with that more frequently if you're talking about like a big physical outside wide receiver. Like with somebody like Tyreek Hill, that's tougher.
It's tough. I know it's they present matchup problems. I get it. I don't know. Maybe they were just complaining because I kept on seeing the back of
people. I hear you. Mark, they can't beat KC. We abandon the game plan every single time. By the way, that's also not true. They actually worked the game plan to perfection the first time they played Kansas City. And unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes pulled off a miracle at the end of the game. But he does that. He's Patrick Mahomes. Andrew Stecko wants to already hand out his slaps to the helmet. We do that on the Tuesday show now, Andrew. You're spoiling. You're the spoiler alert. Save that. Send it to me for tomorrow morning. But he gives the most to Harbaugh for what it's worth. Norm, wake me when this current bunch wins a game that matters. I'm going to keep coming back to that. Just say it a different way.
Yes.
I understand the point you're trying to make, but when you're saying they don't, the big games or any game that matters, you're ignoring they beat the Patriots at home a year ago. You're ignoring they went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks a year ago.
But this goes back to the same thing that you said, that nothing else matters
this year.
And people are going to react to that. I'm
just asking you to do it fairly. That's really all. I get what you're frustrated about, what you're really saying. And this is the reality. And Ken, you're right. I wrote an effing column about it last week.
I know you were right on.
This is the only thing that we could gauge success by during the course of this season. We now get to spend 13 weeks shrugging our shoulders and saying,
Even if they lose a couple of other games, it's gonna be like, okay, whatever.
Make me have a look at the playoffs. If they win this game, we sit back and say we feel great.
We feel great.
We're on the train. Yes, there's still they got to prove the postseason, of course.
There's still the butt.
But you're way more on the train because this hangs over you again. They could literally go 15-1 and win every game by multiple touchdowns. And when we get to the end of the season, you're going to say, how do you feel about the Ravens? You're going to say, I don't know. That's the reality of what they're up against. I get what you're trying to say. Just say it a different way. Scott, the Ravens don't have enough playmakers. No team would take our wide receivers. And that goes back to my margin for error comment. You have a smaller margin for error in part because of that. You do. I mean, you constructed the team the way that you do. Now, to your point, KZ, it's example number 6,000 of why just effing play to your strengths.
Correct.
Play to what you have. Go win your games that way. Stop thinking you need to keep throwing the ball a bunch of times. Lamar Jackson can say he hates running and he just wants to be a passer and all that.
Great.
And that's all well and good. And I love Lamar Jackson and God bless him. And I think he's a good passer. I think he can be a very good passer. And we've seen him be a great passer. They are at their best when they do something.
When they run the ball and set up the pass and not vice versa. Look, Marquise Brown is going to be a very good wide receiver, but you know, he's not there yet, and that's the only deep threat they really have. They refused to send what's the kid's name that ran back the kick to
Devin Duvernay.
They refused to send him deep. He would be another guy to throw out there to open up the middle a little bit. It is limited right now. It is limited in their pass catchers, and it doesn't help when you have four drops from your best two.
For what it's worth, I know I'm going to – like, I already laughed at AJ, but that Antonio Brown thing is not going to go away.
I know, but he's not coming here.
That conversation's – like, it's going to percolate again in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be another Instagram thing, and there's going to be – like, it's – the Ravens didn't let it go away. If the NFL has nothing more to say about him on as far as the suspension goes, it's not going to go away in the next couple of weeks, and people are going to point to a night like tonight and say, well, you've got to be able to win a shootout. You've got to be able to score a bunch of points against the Kansas City Chiefs, and you can't do that with the roster that you have, and that's been proven, and you can't force them to do what you want them to do. You've got to be able to go score points. That conversation is going to continue to exist in our world, and that's the Ravens' fault for not stepping in and saying,
absolutely,
no, we're not doing that.
Correct.
And continuing to allow it to exist. Alan, it's disturbing when the Ravens try to be something they aren't on offense, be who you are, run the ball. Look, I said this on Twitter in the second half. There is something mind-numbing about the run the damn ball crowd. It's mind numbing. They're like, my God, how many times I would sit on the radio and get a call, you know, teams are 37-0 when they run the ball 25 times. Right. You're brilliant. So you just come out. You call 25 run plays. You say, game stops now. We win, right? This is a different scenario, and I'm willing to admit that it's a different scenario. Okay. I hate that conversation.
I know you hate the
because
conversation.
Because it's brainless.
But it's not brainless because you're doing – you do something successfully, and you're doing it successfully all season last year, 14-2. You did it the whole way, and then you stopped in the playoff game because you got behind by 8 points. And then you come into tonight – On a game plan that, I'm sorry, is not tough to figure out. You control the clock, you run the ball, which is your strength, and you limit the amount of opportunities that Patrick Mahomes has to go up against your defense because no defense can stop him. So what do? You run the ball straight down their throats in the first drive, and then you stop. And then after that drive, you may have had two more rushes from your running backs the entire half. Because they only had six for the entire first half. So, yes, it's mind-numbing, but run the damn ball. It was successful.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I get it. I go, it is mind-numbing. And you know what's mind-numbing about it? That they go away from it. It doesn't make sense, Glenn.
Right. And the reason why I'm giving it more credence is because it is how you built your football team. Like, you've done this to yourself.
You
right?
have.
Like, if this isn't who you wanted to be, then don't go be something else.
Who was your number one draft pick this year?
It was it was a middle linebacker.
To help stop the run.
Right.
Okay, and also you
wanted to improve in coverage. And okay. Patrick Queen did not have a good night.
He did not have a good night. Who was your second draft pick?
Yes, it was J.K. Dobbins.
Why
it
did
was
we
a
say
back.
That? Well, I wouldn't have taken a running back. But when they took J.K. Dobbins, who was my top running back on my board.
This is what you do.
This is who you are. Why? Because this is who you are, and this is how you
You're
going to
run the ball
a
billion
team.
Times, have the best running backs you can possibly have a million of them, have everybody on the field be able to run the ball really well.
J.K. Dobbins is your third down back and doesn't get to rush the ball? All he does every time he touches the ball, he does something well. Breaks tackles, makes first down. Let the kid play. Why? What? And it's not against Gus Edwards, who runs the ball really well.
Gus Edwards was great
again tonight. It's not against Mark Ingram, who's still very, very good. They don't touch.
Well, I don't care as much about who's doing it, for what it's worth. I don't really care who's doing it.
Three of them.
Yes.
Nobody's going to get tired.
Right. And the idea. And again, and part of this to me too is that.
Please. Can we use it that way?
I'm oddly.
Please run the ball.
I'm oddly more. It's a weird thing. I'm oddly more bothered by what seems to be almost purposely running Lamar Jackson less, which is the brainless thing that everybody spent the entire you can't keep doing this and he's gonna get hurt and the F all of that.
I know.
Go win football games.
Huh?
The notion that you're gonna concern yourself with whether or not somebody's gonna get hurt, you're playing football. Like, my God!
Well, you said it right before. You know, all this study about, you know, running quarterbacks don't get hurt as
anymore,
often.
Anymore.
Anymore
yes.
than someone in the pocket.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true.
So run it.
Run it.
You are neutering yourself.
And he's
proven.
The
greatest. He is the greatest player ever at this particular thing.
Yes.
He's a damn good player overall, but he's unquestionably the greatest running quarterback of all time.
Ever.
Use that! Use that to win.
Yeah.
Beat your opponents because they have no answer. And you get another blocker on the field. And all the things we sat here and screamed about for a year.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's brilliant. The Ravens have figured it out. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we're not going to do it?
Yep.
And I get it. They won the first two games, so it didn't, like, you know, who cares?
Play anybody.
I know. That's true. Anyway. Mark, it's not about big games. It's just against Kansas City. We feel we have to prove Lamar is as good as Mahomes. He's not. I don't know that that's what this is. I don't believe the Ravens are getting caught up in we need Lamar to outduel Patrick Mahomes. I don't believe that for a second. I think they have not responded when things didn't go exactly their way. And the track record I have to prove that is pretty clear. Every game they've lost, you can do this math, every game they've lost, and frankly, because they haven't lost that many,
mm-hmm.
you got six in the Lamar Jackson era. You've got the first Chiefs game in 2018. You got the playoff game against the Chargers. You got the Browns and the Chiefs in the regular season last year, the Titans, and you got this tonight. You got six losses in the Lamar Jackson era. And with the exception of, I guess, the Cleveland game, they didn't, like, they played, they got off to a decent start in the Cleveland game last year. But, like, with maybe the exception of that, they all have something very, very similar in common. They don't establish themselves early on, and they just seem to not know what to do when that happens. It gets away from them in a hurry.
And they get away from their strengths.
And you can say it's about, you know, well, this is about the opponent. You can, and again, that's unfair because I guess the first Chiefs, maybe it's a four of six games because the first Chiefs game they didn't do that.
Yeah.
So four of the six losses, four of the last five.
Yes.
I would say it's the exact same thing in every single one of them. It's that it didn't go exactly the way that you thought it was going to go, and it got away from you. And in all of the wins, you never had to come from behind. It did. It, every single win has the same thing in common. You established yourself very early on. You dictated tempo, and you were able to play the game that you wanted to play from there. Dwight, got to get to the quarterback. The Ravens didn't do that tonight. Mark follows that up by saying Judon is a problem. Franchise player, yeah, right. $17 million for what? There's no question. Matt Judon has not done much of anything to start the season. There's no debate about that whatsoever. Now, it's three games. There's 13 games to go. It certainly does not help him that there's no one else on the field that is offering much in the way of a threat to get after quarterbacks. Teams can be aware of where Matt Judon is and kind of zero in and say, we need to make sure that if we're going to pay some extra attention somewhere, it's there because we ain't effing worried about, you know, anybody else not being like we think one on one we can block everybody else.
Well, yeah, I mean you're playing most of the times the Ravens have three guys out there that are run stuffers, and then you have Judon, and then you know Bowser comes and does his thing. I guess Ferguson doesn't get to play anymore.
Not really.
You know,
McPhee's been out there, obviously.
McPhee's. And it's also, look, Mahomes is really difficult to get on the ground and get pressure on. So, and when you do get pressure, you got to put him on the ground, and the Ravens didn't do that tonight.
But again, we saw a week ago when a team has a defensive front that can win their one-on-one matchups and get
it
in the backfield.
Correct.
And it helps.
If
you want a disappointment, look, Calais Campbell had two really good games to start his career in Baltimore, but not as a rusher. As a disruptor.
Disruptor.
He was in the middle of plays. He was tipping balls. The Ravens were tipping plenty of balls a year ago. They didn't need somebody else to tip balls. Michael Pierce was doing that just fine. He was tipping ball. They were getting plenty of tip balls a year ago. They needed someone to go punish quarterbacks.
Yep.
And Calais Campbell, at this point at his age, probably isn't really that guy.
Well, no, he's not.
Right?
He's not, and neither is Wolf.
No, neither is Wolf. Although, I mean, like, Wolf has had his moments in his career, correct.
They're not
dominant in that
capacity.
They're
not dominant. I mean,
their strengths are in other areas.
You had guys out there that you could have gone and gotten.
And pursued, right. Correct. They didn't do that.
They didn't.
From Scott, Judon was on the ground more than he was in the backfield. Yep. And Mark says he's an average player, doesn't get pressure, the sacks he get because of the scheme, can't beat a guy one-on-one. We screwed up by franchise tagging him, should have saved the cap space and signed a couple of free agents. I mean, I don't know. Who you're signing.
I don't know who you're signing.
Like, I just don't know who that is.
Clay Matthews said he doesn't want to play football anymore. I don't know if you're bringing him in for a workout. So,
I mean, the other problem, too, is that market, a lot like the quarterback now market.
Yeah, it's gone.
This is what you get. Like, unfortunately, these guys cost absurd, sick amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody would say this also wasn't a great draft class for guys that get after quarterbacks. There was Chase Young, and then there was everybody else.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So that hurt. Like, there was no real option for addressing that necessarily early on in the draft. You kind of were stuck with what you had. But this is your unwillingness to say pay Za'Darius Smith a couple years ago. Kind of coming back to bite you as he's proving that he was a capable one-on-one pass rusher. You didn't want to pay that type of money. Now you're kind of stuck with what you got. Tim brings that up with Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Scott says, you're wrong, Ken. All right, very good. Let's move on.
I don't know which one he's saying I'm wrong about.
He was talking about going for it early in the game. You had said you were okay with the field goal.
I was okay with the field goal because they needed to get some points there. You can't come away with none. What I wasn't okay with is the way they went about getting to the field goal. They should have scored a touchdown there. I agree with that. If it was fourth and one, yeah. But it wasn't fourth and one. It was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, it was 3.
You're 3rd and 3.
You've got Lamar Jackson.
I get it.
There should be no world in which you're not converting a 4. And there is also the flip side argument, which is
you're at home with the crowd. And
well, yeah, that's unfortunately not the case. That's what it is. Mark's trying to do the bit where they could have had Clowney and Matthews instead. Well, again, Matthews isn't playing football,
Matthews
and Clowney didn't agree to play for that amount of money until literally the last moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, that was not a strategy they could have operated with. Scott, to your point, Ken. Oh, he agrees with you, and so he's wrong. To your point, Ken, they didn't sack Mahomes once. No pressure. Another Scott. Defense just looked confused. Peters' risk versus reward mentality hurt us a lot tonight. I don't know. I guess I didn't really see that.
I'm liking these Scott guys.
Lots of Scotts. We're big. If we could use about 100 more. Find more. Let's build up a billion share within the Scott community.
I got lots of people telling me I'm right on that.
Well, I don't know.
We shouldn't read all of them.
Why? Because you're going to build your ego up? I don't want that. Scott also thinks that Marlon needed to be on Tyreek Hill. Tim, would Brockers have made a bigger or cheaper difference over Ngakoue? That's a weird thing to go back on, right? Like, I haven't really been paying attention to how things have been going with Brockers in L.A., so I don't know, like, if ultimately he's been fine just fine and the Ravens kind of have egg on their face for not figuring out a way to get that done. I don't have that answer. Brocker's also not like a true
rusher.
More,
right.
He's more of that sort of tweener type.
Correct.
That,
he's more of the inside pressure type guy.
Right. Jonathan, Kenny, you are right. Harbaugh gets out coached again. Brandon. Brandon, Lamar has proved many times he can't win if you force him to throw the ball.
No. See.
Again, you're saying it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And there's something in there. That's like a cousin of the truth, right?
Right.
Like there's something in there where that was the only question that we could still ask about Lamar Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Is like what happens when you're down by a couple scores and you have no choice but to throw the ball?
Mm-hmm.
And I would bring that up a little bit. And I remember my partner Kyle Ottenheimer would say things like, okay, but with his running ability, like he can still run the ball even in those circumstances.
Correct.
If he runs for 17 yards and gets out of bounds.
So what?
That's just as good as throwing the football.
It is.
And that's true, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
It's true. He shouldn't become one-dimensional in those circumstances. Now, what's taken away is the methodical, bullying thing that the Ravens do so well. You can't do that. You need to speed things up a little bit, and they haven't been great in those circumstances.
Correct.
AJ, J.K. Dobbins is in Harbaugh's doghouse because he played at Ohio. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
He also says, we are the 49ers, and they are the Cowboys, and to win, we need to sign Sign A.J. Brown, who will make every decent. All right, blah, 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 blah. Nelson just says all facts. So, I don't know. Man, like,
we're both
man,
right.
Cool, great. That sounds
Thanks,
good
Nelson.
To me, Nelson.
They are facts.
Mark, go watch the tape. Judon isn't being doubled. I don't know that he's being doubled, and I don't know what
but
I'm saying.
But if you're going, it's not about necessarily double, but if you're going to put, if the rushing four, it's right. 4 on 5.
Right, and if you're lining
up.
And by the way, I'm not trying to tell you that Judon's playing well. Like, don't confuse what I'm saying with me trying to suggest that Matt Judon is secretly playing well. He's not.
He's not.
Let's be very fair about that. But
he's probably seeing more doubles than you think he is because
and circumstances where some it's not even necessarily a double as much as it's a hey go give a rub here
try to make him
correct
right.
Something along those lines. What I would say more significantly is even if he's struggling, he would be aided by there being another quality pass rusher
on
the field.
Other side. Correct.
Everyone, even if he was having a good season. He would probably be having a better season if there was another quality pass rusher on the field.
Correct.
So I'm not making excuses for Matt Judon or trying to convince you that he's playing better than you think he is. He's not. He's having a troubled start to the 2020 season. But it is, as in my mind, is much about roster construction.
I agree.
And
with
the
you.
Lack of priority that the Ravens put into this department.
1,000%.
With the idea that that can always just be solved. And it almost became hubris, right? Like, we've got Wink Martindale. Pressure won't be a problem.
Correct.
Okay, against the Browns, that's probably the case. Against most NFL teams, you're probably right about that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy you've got to beat to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
This isn't about the AFC North anymore.
It is not.
Like, this is not. This is about you've got to beat this guy
Super Bowl or
in order to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Or hope that he gets hurt.
Oh, no.
And I don't hope that he gets. I don't want that. I don't want that. Right. But, like, that's. I'm just. You get what I'm saying?
So, like, every one of my fans.
I understand what you're saying. But, like, I don't want him to get hurt.
I understand.
I'm saying either he gets hurt or you got to beat him.
Correct.
You got to beat him if you're going to win a Super Bowl. And that we will scheme pressure concept, I don't think is going to work when you're playing him and Hill and Kelsey and Watkins and Hardman and. The running backs can catch two, and insert name. There's other guys that
Sherman.
Are suddenly going to be guys, right? Anthony Sherman's out here catching touchdowns, right? Like
linemen are catching touchdowns.
Eric Fisher's catching
touchdowns. Everybody caught a touchdown tonight.
Blake Bell, who was healthy, correct? It's one of those numbers. I don't think that you can scheme pressure when you're dealing with that. It has to come from your front four, and I don't know if they're good enough ultimately for that to be the case. And won't be an issue, I don't think, next week against Dwayne Haskins. I think you'll be fine, just fine, scheming up pressure against the Washington football team. Against this team.
Just play zone. You'll be good.
I think you'll be all right. I think you'll be all right. Let me get 1 minute to let our wonderful sponsors tell you about themselves. And then we'll come back in, and I guess we'll start looking ahead to that big Week 4 showdown with the Washington football team. That's next. He's Ken Zales. I'm Glenn Clark. This is the Project Game Day postgame show.
Glory Days Grill's Oktoberfest menu is available now. Our fall seasonal menu is available for dine-in, dine-out, on the patio, or to-go. It's a new season, so enjoy new flavors. Try their new chicken schnitzel or the delicious Prussian pretzel rolls. Glory Days is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. Visit GloryDaysGrill.com for a location near you. From the Glory Days Grill family, stay healthy and positive during this challenging time in our community.
Looking to get one up on the competition? Supercharge your computer skills. CCBC has classes at all levels from beginner to expert coder. Explore Microsoft Office, gaming, or even ethical hacker. Maybe hardware is your gig. Become A-plus certified. All tuition free if you qualify. Call 443-840-4700 or visit ccbcmd.edu/quickreg.
With Wise Market's lowest price guarantee, we guarantee the lowest price in the area. If a local competitor advertises any of our tagged lowest price guarantee items at a lower price, we'll give you double the difference with purchase.
Eat better, spend less. That's Wise.
If you're looking to make an impact, there's no better place to do that than the U.S. Army. Whether your goal is to fight and cure deadly diseases, develop technologies, or seek adventures across the globe, the Army is where all of that can happen, and so much more. The Army is a team of a million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? Go to army.com/Baltimore to find out. To learn more, contact your local Army recruiter and find us on social media at U.S. Army Baltimore.
Don't think anybody really got hurt. Got that going for him. It's nice.
Yeah.
I don't really have much else to say about it. It's just something that that appeared to happen.
You know, and it's funny. I live week to week in football, okay? It's just the way I because of the other stuff that I do, I live week to week. So I didn't even know what the Ravens, outside of Washington, I didn't even know what the upcoming schedule was. And you're at Washington, you host Cincinnati, you're at Philadelphia.
I mean, yeah. You should be 5-1
5-1
without even really being, without breaking a sweat.
And then you host Pittsburgh.
But this is the reality. I mean, this is.
I know.
We
could do the next three shows right now.
Right. But we laid it out the way that we laid it out because this is the reality is this one did mean as much as we said it meant.
You know, after the bye, the schedule gets a little bit more.
There's that 3-week stretch where it's Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and New England. New England, yeah. Tennessee, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Colts
right?
aren't going to be a pushover.
Yeah, all right. I'm still not.
Not a pushover. I'm not saying.
I'm not ready
to
believe
either
that
because Philip Rivers can't throw
team.
The ball. But.
It's a short thing because the third one's on a Thursday. So from in the span of, what is that, 11 days.
11 days.
You're going to play 3 football games against the Patriots, the
Titans
and Steelers on Thanksgiving night.
And 2 of them on the road.
Right. That's a real stretch. And by the way, my gut is this won't be the only game the Ravens lose. Now, I don't think they're going to lose many. But my gut is this isn't going to be the only game the Ravens lose all season. But it was the one that mattered for trying to get an answer about the real answer is what do they do in the playoffs, right? And we can't know
it
that until they get to the playoffs.
Correct.
We wanted to get this one because it was going to make us feel way better.
Way better when we get to the
about
playoffs.
where they were going to be when they get to the
Correct.
Playoffs. And as we keep saying, literally nothing they do the rest of the regular season is going to be able to make us feel anything towards what's going to happen when they get to the playoffs.
Would also have been nice if there are fans allowed in the stands at that point to not go to Kansas City, but...
Kansas City actually is already allowing fans in the stadium.
I'm just, yeah.
I don't know if they'll be at 50% capacity or whatever
but
by
that's
that
what
point.
I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been nice if.
I saw somebody tried giving that argument earlier. Like, it might be better if the Ravens have to play week one and they have a more winnable game. I'm like, they've lost at home to the Titans and the Chargers.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, lose.
Yeah,
their playoff losses aren't to Kansas City.
Yeah, I'd like to see them play Kansas City in the playoffs one time.
I mean, it would be. I don't know if I wanted that in the. Well,
it would be the championship, AFC championship.
Well, you'd hope that's when it would be.
Well, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that, but they've still got work to do.
If you're 1-2.
I understand, but they've got work to do to make sure
that's but if they were to fail, if you think that they're going to go 12-4 or 13-3.
At the moment, they're the 5 seed. At the moment.
Yeah, okay.
That's not the case. All right. Washington next week. It's what it is, man. I mean, this is the reality. Just don't get hurt. Play as sharp as you can. I hate saying none of it matters, but, like, that's a good thing. It's a good thing that none of it matters, right? It's a good thing because it's a statement that we don't think that one loss is proof that this team stinks. We think it's concerning for what their ultimate goal is.
It is. It's concerning for their ultimate goal. And it's also, they're going to have to – there are some games on their schedule that they're going to have to play well to win. Pittsburgh's defense is legit. Offense still struggling a little bit, trying to find their way. New England with Cam is better than we all thought they were.
Yeah, but they're still not. Offensively, they're not really doing it. But defensively,
they're good, yeah, so they're a good defense. You know, they're going to have to put up points against Dallas when they play Dallas. Dallas is a really good offense with three really good wide receivers, a solid tight end, good running game. It's not like you can just sit there and stop Zeke.
Yeah, and they're a miracle away from being 0-3.
Their defense is terrible.
Right.
But I'm just saying.
You got to show up.
Yeah. I mean, the Tennessee, everybody's going to make a bigger deal out of the Tennessee game than it really is, but. So I don't think they're any good either.
That's nuts. I have no idea what world you're basing that off of. All they've done is literally run through everybody for.
They almost lost to Jacksonville. They barely beat Minnesota, two teams that are just awful.
You just tried crediting the Cowboys, who have no business being even 1-2.
I said
while
they put
detracting
up points offensively.
Well, so does Tennessee, and they've been doing it without AJ Brown.
I know.
They've been putting up a lot of points without their best wide receiver. Like, I'm vastly more concerned about Tennessee than I am even, say, New England.
Not.
Like, I have no idea where that's coming from.
I just don't think they're as good as New England.
You also didn't think Buffalo was any good.
They still don't think. referee gave them that game.
Yeah, it's like the referee that gave St. Louis or gave L.A. the ball on a catch from Tyler Croft in the middle of the game. It's weird. You don't bring that up when you're trying to.
I didn't see that play.
Of course you didn't.
I always saw the play. At the
you
end
only
of
saw
the game.
One that can. You're trying to use to justify your bad take.
Buffalo. No, Buffalo. What were they up? They were up like 21 points. They
up 25 points.
25 points.
In part because they threw a complete pass to Tyler Croft, and for some reason the officials gave the other team the football.
You know they can't get them all right.
You're 100% right about that. At Fans Fantasy on Twitter is how you follow him. He'll be back in with us Thursday morning to set your lineups for fantasy football. We'll be back tomorrow morning, or in a few hours anyway, with Glenn Clark Radio. Bradley Bozeman will join us, as he does every Tuesday. It won't be a lot of fun, but, you know, he's never hid from anything before. He's not going to start hiding from it today. It's what it is, man. This is where you are. It sucks. It's not the end of the world.
Nope.
It's not. The Ravens are bad. The Ravens are still very much so one of the best teams in all of football.
They're just not as good as the Chiefs right now.
And the Chiefs are the standard for everyone in football.
Super Bowl champs for a
reason.
And
you're going to have to figure out how to get past that somehow, some way. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
Rita is scheduled to be with us for week 4. So
I may be back. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? I'm hoping that's the case, that she'll be with us next Sunday. For the Battle of the Beltways, or whatever.
Battle of the Beltway,
whatever the F it is.
No planes needed.
Ravens lose 34-20. It's blah blah blah. Thank you to the U.S. Army. Thank you to Wise Markets for making it happen. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with us late at night. We'll see you tomorrow morning. This has been the Project Game Day Postgame Show.